there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
Good morning from the low. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you. Joining me in segment number 2, we're going to have Sean Cirillo aboard. He does tremendous work over at Action Network, taking a look at this great game of baseball that we all know and love. We're going to be diving in with him as to what he's taking a look at for Wednesday, some of the takeaways he's had for the first few weeks of the season, and the overs that he's taking a look at for Wednesday, as he's on quite a few of them, and he's going to be explaining why. And then in the final segment, going to get you guys picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Wednesday as we touch them all. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, whatever you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /XMline at Jaden_D1. Keep in mind, letters M, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Did not get in any Twitter /X questions today, but we had a great day of baseball on Tuesday. Let's dive into it, try to find some trends, and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
A game from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
How about the hoopla out there in Arizona? 12-11 in 10 innings. They take down the Chicago Cubs. Ian Happ had a grand slam in this one to make things interesting. His first of the campaign, that comes off of Kyle Nelson, who followed up Tommy Henry, who did not have it in this one. 5 runs surrendered and 4 1/3 innings. Scott Mago did give you 5 outs out of the bullpen, scoreless. And then, you know, Luis Frias, Kyle Nelson combined to get 2 outs and gave up 6 runs with Nelson giving up that grand slam. But Miguel Castro, 2 1/3 innings, scoreless. And Kevin Ginkle lends a scoreless inning. Meanwhile, for the Chicago Cubs, they got an even worse start out of the Professor and Kyle Hendricks. 7 runs surrendered and 4 1/3 innings, including a pair of home runs. Jock Peterson, first home run season. And then you had home run number 5 for Lourdes Gurriel. And Ketel Marte in the 9th inning with his team down by 1. He had a Marte parte. And with 2 outs, he goes deep off of Adbert Alsley. That is home run number 4 of the campaign. And then from there, Arizona with Randall Grichuk, they're able to walk it off as the Cubs lose this game despite going 7 of 18 with men in scoring position and straining just 5 men on base. For the Diamondbacks, they went 2 of 13 with men in scoring position, so they cash in, and they were able to get the job done. So a nice win for the Arizona Diamondbacks, and a almighty rough one for the Chicago Cubs after the LA Dodgers loss as a very, very Mondo favorite on Monday. On Tuesday, they were able to restore order. Patrick Corbin continues to be Patrick Corbin. 6-2, the LA Dodgers, they find a way to be able to get the job done for Washington. Jesse Winker does go deep off of Ryan Yarbrough, second home run season, as Yarbrough was utilized as the bulk guy, as you had 2 scoreless innings in this one from the Hurt Locker and Kyle Hurt. From there, Yarbrough gives up that home run. 2 runs a total over the course of 5 innings. Joe Kelly, Danny Hudson, they both provide a scoreless inning from there. And Kike Hernandez, who's been rough this far this season, takes Patrick Corbin deep. First home run of the campaign for Corbin. gives up 5 runs in 6 and a third innings, including that home run. Tanner Rainey gives up a run in an inning, and then Derek Law, 2 outs out of the bullpen, scoreless, so they find a way to be able to get the job done out there. So LA Dodgers back on kilter, and for the Dodgers, since the beginning of the 2022 campaign, this team has won 223 regular season games. All but 35 of them have been by multiple runs. You saw the Seattle Mariners be able to get a win over the Cincinnati Reds, this by a count of 3-1. Reds have been one of your top over teams in the league, by the way, 12 overs to 5 unders, but they just could not generate a lot of offense here. They leave 6 men on base, and for Hunter Green, it was a solid start in terms of not allowing runs, but not in terms of length. He knocks himself early, 8 strikeouts, 3 walks, and 4 innings, giving up 1 run. From there, Emilio Pagan gives up a run in a third of an inning. Justin Wilson gives up a run in an inning. And then Brent Suter provides 2 scoreless innings. Fernando Cruz, he was able to give you a pair of outs out of the bullpen scoreless. And for Logan Gilbert, another really nice start. 6 2/3 innings, allows just 1 run. Andres Munoz, Ryan Stanek combined for 2 scoreless innings, and Taylor Cicado got the final out of the game to be able to get the job done for the Seattle Mariners, who now played 11 unders, 6 overs, and a push. They have been one of your top under teams in all of baseball, and for the Mariners, they win this game despite leaving 12 men on base and going 1 of 7 with men in scoring position. The Atlanta Braves, they have been one of your top over teams in all of baseball. 10 overs, 5 unders, and a push, and they take down the Houston Astros by a count of 6-2. The Astros 6-13 to begin the season as Orlando Arcia. OICU getting your first home run season off of Hunter Brown, who gave up 2 runs in 6 innings, which that is much better than what he had done in his previous 2 starts. Previous 2 starts, 3 2/3 innings, he had allowed 14 runs. So improvement there. Sean Dubin, though, he rolled a doobie. 4 runs surrendered in 2 1/3 innings, and Forrest Woodley gets a pair of outs out of the bullpen scoreless for Houston. Kyle Tucker goes deep off of Aaron Bummer, 5th home run season, but I mean, for the Houston Astros, that was a lone bright spot in a Bummer, as Aaron Bummer gives up those 2 runs in 2/3 of an inning, as Reynaldo Lopez looking really good as a starter for the Atlanta Braves. 6 scoreless innings. Tyler Madsek, Joey Jimenez, they both are able to supply scoreless inning, and then you get an out of the bullpen from Rossy Iglesias to be able to wrap things up. The Oakland A's are now 9-1 on the run line as an underdog in their last 10 games. 0-3 as a favorite in that time span as well. But that said, the Cardinals, they win by a count of 3-2 for Lance Lynn. Not a bad start here. He gives up 2 runs, one of which was earned in 7 innings. Did allow a home run to Kyle McCann, his first home run of the season. That was pretty much a lone mistake that he made. From there, Jojo Romero, Ryan Helsley close it over with a scoreless 8th and 9th inning. And for Oakland, not bad pitching here. J.P. Sears gives up 1 run over the course of 5 innings. Danny Jimenez does allow 2 runs in 2/3 of an inning, but T.J. McFarland and out of the bullpen. And then you got 3 innings of relief from Mitch Spence as he was able to turn it scoreless, was able to get 5 strikeouts along the way. But the Oakland A's have been very miserable at the plate this far this season, and that continued in this one. And the Cardinals are now your top under team in all of baseball. 5 overs, 11 unders, and 2 pushes. The next best under team is the Philadelphia Phillies. They blank the Colorado Rockies 5-0. The final, Rockies are now 4-14, and not looking great for them, to say the least. Austin Gomber gets gombered up, giving up 3 runs in 5 1/3 innings, giving up a home run along the way to JT Realmuto, 3rd home run season. Then Tyler Kinley serves one up to Bryce Harper, 4th home run of the season, just the 2nd game of which Bryce Harper has had a home run in, by the way, as Kinley allows 2 runs in his inning of work, including that bomb. And Victor Vodnik has actually been very good in this Rockies bullpen, 1 2/3 innings scoreless. But what was better was Ranger Suarez, complete game. He gets 8 strikeouts, does not allow a run. I believe that's like the 2nd or 3rd complete game we've seen all season long. They become a rarity, but Suarez pulls it off. The Phillies, they're able to get it done. The Detroit Tigers also able to get it done. They take down the Walker Texas Rangers by a count of 4-2 as 55 Shades of John Gray. Not bad in this one. He gives up 2 runs, one of which was earned in 6 innings, and then Jose Ureña. Ureña is all over the game, gives up a run in 1 2/3 innings, and Jordan Latz, he gets it out of the bullpen, but a lot of run along the way as for Detroit. A very good showing from the bullpen once again. Andrew Chafin and Jason Foley, 2 scoreless innings between the two of them. Alex Lang, a scoreless inning, and Casey Mize gives up 2 runs over the course of 6 innings. So a Tigers team that has been playing a lot of unders themselves. 6 overs, 10 unders, and a push. They do find a way to be able to get the job done, and they get the win. Our DK Network right of pick was an under. It was in the Orioles versus Twins game, and unfortunately, Chris Paddock laid a turd. 11-3, the final in this one. As for Chris Paddock, gives up 9 runs in 5 1/3 innings. Why they let him go that long, I have no idea, but he allowed a pair of bombs along the way for Baltimore. Gunnar Henderson, his 5th home run season. Jordan Westberg is 4th, as pretty much all these runs came with 2 outs, by the way, so that made it all the more brutal. But Ryan O'Hearn a little bit later on off of Jay Jackson, He gets home run number 4 of the campaign himself, for Mr. J.A. Jackson gives up 2 runs in 2 innings. Caleb Theobar gets a pair of outs out of the bullpen, scoreless, and for the Minnesota Twins, they go just 2 of 10 with men in scoring position. Byron Buxton was able to generate a triple, but for Grayson Rodriguez, 16th straight start in which he allows 3 earned runs or fewer, 2 runs surrendered in 6 innings. Mike Bauman allows a run in 1 1/3 innings, and Yoan Ramirez, 1 2/3 innings scoreless. So the Orioles, they get a nice seamless win there, and for the San Diego Padres, they find a way to be able to get it done by a kind of 6-3 over the Brewers. Brewers, by the way, your top over team. 12 overs of 4 unders. Offense has been cooling down a little bit. 3 runs approximately in each of their last 2 games, and Wade Miley was not having a party out there in Milwaukee. 4 runs, 3 of which were earned. Given up in 3 innings by him, including a home run to Ha-Sung Kim. 3rd home run of the campaign for him. From there, Ebner Uribe, Hobie Milner, they combined for 3 scoreless innings, and you had Elvis Figueroa enter the building and give up 2 runs in the 3rd of an inning. Joel Piamps gives you a scoreless inning, and then Jared Koning, he was able to come in for 5 outs out of the bullpen scoreless. Meanwhile, for the Padres, Dylan Cease, pretty solid start. 1 run surrendered in 6 innings. He did walk 5, but he punched out 7. Adrian Morahone, he gives up a run in 2/3 of an inning, and Johnny Brito, 1 1/3 innings, gives up a run before Yuki Matsui and Wandy Peralta combined for a scoreless inning to be able to stem the tide out there. Also being able to stem the tie, the Tampa Bay Rays, 7-6, they're able to take down the LA Angels in 13 innings. This game was a wild one, to say the least. Entering in extra innings, it was 3-3, so you were on the fritz with regards to that total anyway, but Jose Soriano walks 5, but only gives up 1 run over the course of 5 innings. From there, Luis Garcia, Matt Moore, Hunter Strickland, Carlos Estevez, they all come into the game. First 3 guys, and Moore, Strickland, and Garcia all land a scoreless inning, but Estevez gives up 2 runs in his inning of work. From there, Jose Cicerno has to turn 2 innings, gives up 2 unearned runs, and then Carson Fulmer gives up 2 runs, one of which was earned, including the winning single by Ahmed Rosario. Meanwhile, for the LA Angels, they go 1 of 9 with men in scoring position, and they strand 7 men on base, despite the fact that this game went 13 innings. Logan Ohapi went deep off of Aaron Civale, as did Mickey Moniak. Moniak is first of the season for Ohapi, is second for Civale. He gives up 3 runs over the course of 6 innings, but he had Chris Savinski, Sean Armstrong, Colin Pouché all land a scoreless inning. Pete Fairbanks, Jason Adam, they both give up an unearned run in their extra inning of work. Garrett Clevenger gives up an unearned run in an inning, but Phil Maton turns a scoreless one in for the Rays. They go 4 of 18 with men in scoring position, but enough to be able to get the job done. Also being able to get the job done in extras, the Cleveland Guardians, 10-7 in 11 innings against the Boston Red Sox. For the Guardians, Tanner Bibee, not long for this game, but not bad. 1 run surrendered over the course of 5 innings. That was a solo shot, as going deep off of him, it was home run number 2 of the campaign for Emmanuel Valdez. From there, you did have Tyler Beede give up a pair of home runs. Connor Wong, his second home run season. Tristan Casas, his 5th. As for Beede, not a great showing here. 3 runs surrendered in a 3rd of an inning, including a pair of home runs. And then you had Cade Smith give up 2 runs in 2/3 of an inning, but Eli Morgan, 2 scoreless innings. Hunter Gaddis, a scoreless inning. Scott Barlow, a scoreless inning. And Emmanuel Clase gives up an unearned run in his extra inning of work, but you were able to get home run number 2 of the campaign from Tyler Freeman. He's able to go deep off of Jolly Rodriguez, who gives up 3 runs, 2 of which were earned in his 2 innings. Garrett Woodlock, once again, not a bad start, but once again, not a lot of length. Only goes 54 pitches, gives up 2 runs over the course of 4 innings. I believe that he's dealing with a little bit of an ailment. We'll need to double check on that. But Brandon Bernardino, Chris Martin from there, both land a scoreless inning. But Kenley Jansen, he gives up a run in his inning of work, which leads to extra innings. Craig Weiser gives up an unearned run in an inning. And then Josh Winkowski, 3 runs, 2 of which were earned, given up in the 11th. So that's a big, giant issue for the Boston Red Sox and another gut-wrenching loss. Hey, the Miami Marlins were able to get a win, though. 6-3, the final. By the way, the White Sox did not lose yesterday. Their game got rained out, so they did not lose. So celebrate the little things, White Sox fans. As for the San Francisco Giants, Matt Chapman had himself a nice game. Goes deep off of Ryan Weathers for his 4th home run season. But for Weathers, punches out 10. Swing of himself way up from 2 runs surrendered in 6 innings, including that home run. Birch Smith from there gives up a run in a 3rd of an inning, but Kelvin Fautcher was able to give you 1 2/3 inning scoreless. Tanner Scott, a scoreless inning as well. And for the Miami Marlins, they don't get any home runs, but they go 4 of 14 with men in scoring position, and they hit the bullpen hard. As for Jordan Nix, not a bad start here. 2 runs surrendered over the course of 5 innings, but Ryan Walker gives up 3 runs in 2/3 of an inning. And Nick Avila give up a run in his inning, as you had from there Eric Miller be able to supply a scoreless inning in and out of the bullpen from Taylor Rogers to be able to allow the Miami Marlins to be able to get the job done out there. And the Blue Jays. It's been up and down for them, but they get it done by a count of 5-4. Really hard to believe that the Blue Jays are 10-8 with the way that they've looked on the field, by the way, but Carlos Rodon, not a great start here. 4 walks, 3 runs surrendered over the course of 4 innings. From there, Luke Weaver gives up 2 runs in 1 2/3 innings. Victor Gonzalez, a scoreless inning. And then Nick Birdie was able to give you 5 outs out of the bullpen, scoreless for the Yankees. Not a ton of hard contact in this one. They were able to get to the bullpen as Trevor Richards allows 2 runs in his inning of work. And Jordan Romano, he fresh off the injured list, gave up a run in an inning, but was still able to get the save. Yimi Garcia, a scoreless inning. And Yusei Kikuchi just continues to be tremendous. 9 punchouts, gives up 1 run over the course of 6 innings since the All-Star break last season. He has just been a completely newly revamped pitcher. And for the Mets, they're looking to be newly revamped as well. 3-1, they take down the Pittsburgh Pirates as Luis Ortiz takes the L in this one as he comes out of the bullpen and he gives up 3 runs in 1 2/3 innings. This spoils what was a very nice outing for Jared Jones. Gives up just 1 hit, no walks in 5 innings, punches out 7, was done after 59 pitches, 50 of which were strikes. So that was interesting. I have to wonder if there was some sort of injury or something because, man, he was rolling. From there, Ryder Ryan gives you a scoreless inning, and you were able to get an out of the bullpen as well from Jose Hernandez, but nothing doing for this Pirates lineup. For the Mets, you had Jose Quintana come in, not necessarily the world's greatest amount of length, but gives up 1 run over the course of 5 innings. Reed Garrett punches out 6 guys in 2 innings, and you had Jorge Lopez, Drew Smith, both be able to supply the team with a scoreless inning as well. And if you're looking at the trends of baseball right now, we have been noticing more overs than unders, but it's starting to iron out. 129 overs to 125 unders. We've seen quite a few pushes along the way as well, and we've been seeing quite a few road teams cash. 139 and 123 on the money line for them. Meanwhile, favorites are hitting at about 58.7%. 152 to 107 on the money line. And if you took a look at what we all got yesterday in baseball, road teams went just 4-10. So that was a little bit rough. And you saw 7 overs to 7 unders. So that's what we're seeing in baseball right now. And that's what we all got on Tuesday. Now let's turn it forward to Wednesday's action with Sean Zerillo, who does a great job breaking down this fine game over at Action Network. He joins me next right here on the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart. Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by this man as Sean Zarrillo does tremendous work over at Action Network, taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of baseball. He does a tremendous job with his model day in and day out. Coupled with that, for those that are fans of the UFC, he does a great job with his UFC model as well. And boy, was that a big weekend for UFC. An absolutely tremendous card out there. And I feel like we've got a pretty tremendous card of baseball for this Wednesday as well that we'll break down with Sean. And you'll be following my Twitter /X at his first and last name, Sean's Zarrillo. That last name is spelled Z-E-R-I-L-L-O altogether. And Sean, always great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Yeah, Greg, thank you for having me. Looking forward to this slate for Wednesday. 16 games on the board, including a doubleheader. And I should have quite a bit of bets. I already have 12 locked in for this slate we have upcoming. So we'll see how many I end up with by the time these games actually get started in the afternoon. I tried not to over-allocate considering we may get a lot of afternoon lineups, but it's also a day before an off day for a lot of teams. So maybe getting the bullpens fully aired out before we get that off day. And sometimes these games are more fun to handicap. There was a number of games on Tuesday night where everybody's bullpen empty, Rays and Angels, Guardians and Red Sox. So curious to see how these teams handle their bullpens too, with, you know, potentially some time off coming up.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm so glad that you brought up the fact that we do have 16 games on the board. And I want to start right there. Just how do you handicap the Chicago White Sox team that, I mean, coming into the year, we were all buzzing that perhaps the Colorado Rockies were going to be that worst team in all of baseball. I feel like elevation and them picking up a few wins might be just enough to save them from that dubious honor, because right now I take a look at the Chicago White Sox, and especially with having currently Luis Robert along with Eloy Jimenez out of the fold, I would rank them currently as my dead last team in all of baseball. This has been terrible.
Oh, God, yeah. Their offense is absolutely putrid. And in terms of handicapping them, I basically just like eliminated home field advantage for them when they're at home. And it's sort of neutralized, you know, instead of showing an edge on them for every single game, it's sort of neutralized to the point where I'm oftentimes not showing an edge on them and I kind of align with the game. So I don't know if that's what books do too. You know, I'm not sure how sports books go about handicapping a team that's this poor and they just like kind of take out the home field advantage that you would normally give to any other team. But that's what I've been doing with the White Sox so far, and it's brought me a little bit more in line with the market. Unfortunately, Jonathan Cannon's start today was getting a little bit into range at plus 170. I kind of make this line closer to about plus 140 for Chicago, assuming that same Singer-Cannon matchup in the first game of that doubleheader. Singer's actually concerning me a little bit. His velocity's down relative to previous seasons, and if he's not able to get the velo back up on that slider, I'm not really sure what he is in terms of a pitcher, but I do like this Royals team. And I talked about it a bunch today, so it's worth reiterating here. I do think there's value. I think you can justify value in the Royals depending on which projections they're using. They have such a wide range of outcomes across the projection market. I've seen them as low as 8% to make the playoffs, as low as 3% to win the AL Central, but then as high as 33% and 20% respectively. And if you're getting up to those numbers, you can justify, you know, a 5-1 division bet or a plus 260 make the playoffs bet on Kansas City. And I like this team. It's a bad division. I don't see many holes on this team. I'm just a little bit worried that Cole Reagans is going to go down with an injury at some point, but have a legitimate Cy Young candidate, a legitimate MVP candidate, and it's a bad division. So I'm kind of interested in taking Royals from a futures perspective.
Yep, with the Kansas City Royals, I do think that they're a very fascinating team out there in an AL Central where the offenses have not been getting going, but the bullpens have been rock solid as well. And just how have you been handicapping a lot of these teams out there in the AL Central? Because I got burned taking an under with the Minnesota Twins on Tuesday just because the Orioles at this point are really awesome with regards to their offense. But that said, I take a look at a lot of these AL Central teams, and I have a feeling I'll be betting just a whole bunch of unders this season because while the hitting is honestly good for a lot of these teams, the bullpen pitching, I feel like, might be the best of any out there in terms of a division in all baseball.
Yeah, the Twins don't even have Yoan Duran back yet. Struggles offensively. Is just performing like absolutely miserably with runners in scoring position. I'm trying to pull up the number. Obviously, with Royce Lewis, you know, getting hurt, Carlos Correa being banged up, like that's going to take a bunch of sting out of their lineup. But just in general, with runners in scoring position. The Twins this year, 143, which is dead last in baseball. 20 for 140. And obviously that's going to regress at some point. You know, we kept saying the same thing about the Padres all last season, as the Padres remained putrid with runners in scoring position for the entire year. But the White Sox are hitting 155 with runners in scoring position, and the Twins are below that. So I definitely think there should be some positive regression for the Twins at some point. I really like Edward Julian. There's a couple of other guys in that lineup that I'm into. I think they flipped Matt Wallner back to the minors and brought up Alex Kirilloff today. So we'll see if that wakes them up a little bit. But it's just like a tough division to really support any of these offenses besides Kansas City. Kansas City was hitting a lot at the end of last year. They seem to have carried it over into this year. And they just shored up their pitching staff, where I don't really know if any of the other teams in the division fix their weaknesses. I mean, I guess the Guardians pitching is a little bit better than it was last year, but that's the identity that we're always supposed to have, is pitching and defense. So Kansas City seems like the most improved team to me amongst those five teams. And they're also, unfortunately, not going to get 17 or 19 games against the White Sox. You're only getting 13 at this point, but padding their record early and securing these wins against the White Sox could be hugely important for them ultimately down the road. But the White Sox losing Luis Robert, losing Yoan Moncada, Eli always gets hurt at some point. It's hard to imagine that the Orioles' AAA lineup is not better than what the White Sox are putting on the field at this point.
Yeah, I mean, man, it's just been so sad to take a look at this White Sox team, and it's going to be very hard to be able to back them moving forward along with that Twins lineup, though the Twins bullpen pitching, it has been very good to begin the season. As joining me on the show, we do have Sean Cirillo, does great work over at Action Network right here on the Baseball Betting Show, and just through the first 3 weeks of the season, that certainly is something that has stood out to me, the AL Central teams and the way that they are not producing offense. But what have been some of the bigger takeaways from you, whether that be a team, whether that be a pitcher, or just what you're seeing in the betting market in general?
I think the AL playoff picture is pretty interesting to me, especially with how Houston started out so poorly. You know, Houston and Texas should have a number of good pitchers, quality pitchers coming back at some point. But has Houston dug themselves too big of a hole? And have they moved too far away from analytics and gone too aggressively towards scouting? I've been waiting for the switch to flip eventually. They've made 6 or 7 straight ALCS at this point. But I do think the time for Houston was going to run out eventually. It was going to run out eventually no matter what, right? It was just how quickly the end of this run ended up hitting them. But the AL East and how I rank these teams out, one of them has to get squeezed out of the playoff picture. Because if the Central Division in both leagues, but particularly the American League, is a little bit more competitive than we expected, if a second Central team gets in the playoffs, it just squeezes out the West and squeezes out the East. And even if the West and the East play up to expectations and they end up getting all three of the wild card spots, you still have the Rays and the Jays and the Orioles and the Yankees and the Astros and the Mariners and the Rangers fighting for 5 spots amongst them. And the team that I like least amongst them is probably the Toronto Blue Jays. And I know they got Eric Swanson and Jordan Romano. They're 2 key late inning relievers back today, but both of those guys are still dealing with arm injuries. I could see either of them going back on the IL again. Kevin Gausman's stuff plus and his overall stuff has been down. His fastball velocity is down significantly. So I think he may go on the IL at some point. I don't think they're going to get anything more from Alek Manoah. He's continued to struggle in the minor leagues. Ricky Tiedemann was a prospect who is really highly ranked and is great stuff, but he seems to struggle to stay healthy as well. They brought up Yariel Rodriguez, who was performing well in the minor leagues. I wasn't super impressed with his start against the Rockies. I thought he had a ton of hanging breaking balls, and he really kind of projects as like a mid-fours pitcher going forward. So I don't like Toronto's pitching, and I don't really like their offense either. They have some significant holes in the back end of their lineup with IKF and Kiermaier. Alejandro Kirk and their catchers really just like have dropped off significantly relative to what they were a couple of years ago. And Vlad, outside of the season that they played in the minor league park, his power numbers have really gone down as well. So I'm really kind of low on this Blue Jays team relative to the market. Pakoda still has them at 70% to make the playoffs. Maybe that's, you know, even a little bit higher after they won. And Fangraphs, ATC, those projections have them closer to 50%. But I'm trying to time a bet here on the Jays to miss the playoffs. I imagine they will tick up to plus money on the no after this one. They were about minus 105 today. So assuming the adjustment, they may get plus money on the Jays to miss the playoffs. And that's probably where I'd consider entering at this point, going against the projections that are out there. But I really just do not like this team on paper. I do not like the team with the way I've watched them. And I also just do not like the competition they have them in the American League. Like I said, if two Central teams end up making it, it's just going to squeeze out another one of those teams in the East and the West. So, yeah, I think the Jays are the most in trouble amongst those teams, even though the Astros have started out so poorly.
Yep, I'm right there with you with the Toronto Blue Jays. I feel like maybe we've been overrating the young hitters in general. Like, I still love Vlad Guerrero Jr. I love Bo Bichette, but maybe we gave this just lineup in general a little bit too much praise a little bit too soon, as they've had a tough time generating offense. And then to your point, man, it has been rough to watch Kevin Gausman, to say the least. So perhaps getting Joe Romano back, that's going to help out the bullpen. But all in all, I'm very much out on the Toronto Blue Jays as well. And that does lead into an interesting question with regards to the game that we are going to be seeing on Wednesday between Yankees and Jays. With this being close to a pick 'em, the Blue Jays in a lot of spots are right around about a -110 with a total between 8 and 8.5, because I don't like the form of Gausman right now. But Marcus Stroman, since the back half of the season last year as well, has not necessarily been too tremendous. And I take a look at the total of 8 to 8.5. And even though I don't like the form of the Blue Jays offense, I do feel like it might be a little bit too low.
Yeah, I like the over here. I projected this total closer to 8.9. Gausman, as I mentioned, like, the stuff has dropped off significantly. It was really bad two starts back. His fastball climbed back up a touch in his last start, but it's still rated as a below average pitch per stuff plus. He's really just very splitter dependent at this point. And if the Yankees can sit off of that, the Yankees have a very patient offense. If they can just sit off this splitter and let him throw it below the zone, make him throw it for strikes, I think they should be able to get a number of walks against him. So may bet under, or may bet over on Gausman's walks, maybe under on a strikeout total. But I do like the over in this matchup. Stroman's, he had a couple of good starts to begin the year, gave up 4 runs against the Marlins, and his velocity is down. His stuff plus numbers are down relative to the past couple of years. He's going with more of a cutter slider mix this year. So a little bit of a different pitch mix that maybe the pitch modeling metrics aren't fully encapsulating, but I still think he's overperformed relative to what he is. I still project his season-long ERA at about 4.1, not like the sub-4, you know, like 3.7, 3.6 indicators he's posted. So yeah, I think I'm lower on both of these pitchers relative to the market. And as I said, I make this total about 8.9. So anything 8.5 over -105 or so would be a bet for me, and absolutely happy to get 8.
Yep, I'm right there with you. As joining me on the show, we do have Sean Cirillo, does great work over at Action Network, joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show. And I do think that this game is going to be very interesting as well, because you alluded to it, a lot of extra innings for the Cleveland Guardians and the Boston Red Sox. And Red Sox, about -135 and -140 favorites, with Tanner Houck going up against Ben Lively and a total of 9. How do you evaluate this matchup? Because I do think that the Guardians are the team that's able to bounce back from an extra inning game a little bit more than the Red Sox, just because they've got more depth in the bullpen. But the big roll of the dice is, what the heck are we going to get out of Ben Lively in this?
I make this total again like 9.9, so another over for me. I think there's several overs on the board that I like. Angels Rays, I mentioned, like, every single reliever went in that game. And both the Guardians, Red Sox, and Rays Angels also have to play on Thursday. So keep that in mind. They need innings from their starting pitchers because they have exhausted bullpens behind them, and they can't leave nothing left at all for Thursday. So I like the over here. I like the over in Tampa, all basically having to do with the bullpen just being completely exhausted. The temperature and the weather isn't great at Fenway Park, so it's going to be in the 50s, but the wind is pretty neutral. So Tanner Houck has always had pretty dramatic lefty-righty splits. The Guardians can load up with lefties against them, which I really like. I made this line about +122, so no value on a side for me. I'd probably lean to the Guardians if I got like +130, maybe +135 would actually be a bet for me. You know, Houck's shown really good stuff this year. A lot of the Red Sox pitchers have shown really good stuff this year with Andrew Bailey guiding them. They moved away from the fastball. They're throwing fastballs less often than like any team in Major League history that we have tracked. They've gone very heavy with the cutters and the sliders this year. But I do think Houck's lefty-righty splits is something that's going to continue to trouble him. So I like the over in this matchup as well. I don't project Lively as like anything better than like a 4.7, 4.5 ERA type of pitcher. Nothing particularly special there, but they also need innings from him. They got their bridge basically wiped out today, and they have late inning relievers, but not a huge middle reliever group available for them. I could say even less for the Red Sox. So putting a lot on Houck's shoulders, not only to get these lefties out, but also to get through the lineup multiple times. So yeah, total closer to 10 for me there, 9.9. Definitely like another over 9.5 up to about -105. And I was able to get an over 9, which, always happy to get the key number, 7-9-11.
Yep, I'm right there with you. I took an over 9 in this game myself, so we are in firm agreement there, and you were alluding to it. You've got a lot of plays on the board for this Wednesday, so take me through just anything that we have yet to hit and what you're all liking on this pretty expansive Wednesday card.
Yeah, I'll just run down it. So I like the Mets and both halves to about -135. Britt Baty got hurt today, but they should be bringing up Mark Vientos, and sounds like Hugh Ryan Hayes may not go for the Pirates as well. Luis Severino, his metrics are kind of back to where they were when he's a fully healthy pitcher. I really like what I've seen from him this year, and I think the Mets have kind of been underrated and the Pirates overrated relative to the starts that they had. Arizona, Brandon Pfaadt, his numbers are really jumping off the page this year. I show a pretty big edge on their first five line. I like that up to about minus 130. Phillies in the first five innings as well. You could bet to minus 212. Happy to lay the juice. The Rockies are absolutely putrid against left-handed pitching. They had a 74 WRC plus last year against lefties, which was like 8 points below any other team, 26 points below major league average. This year, they rate like a 71, so basically in the same range, and it's a lot of the same hitters. So Christopher Sanchez in the first five innings tomorrow to minus 212, like that bet as well. I mentioned the overs in LA, or the overs in Tampa, Boston, and Toronto. Those are the three totals on my card. Aside from, I actually bet the Phillies under. The Phillies have a fully rested bullpen tomorrow with the fact that Ranger Suarez went all nine innings tonight. And Ryan Feltner's actually been okay this year. He's showing, he's like the one starting pitcher on the Rockies who's not like an automatic fade candidate for me. He's shown better metrics this season. A little bit interested in, you know, Felter helping to keep this total under eight. It's always a little scary betting a Rockies pitching staff to suppress the other team's offense. You know, this feels like it could be a 9-0 Phillies victory. I kind of wanted to bet the Rockies team total under 3.5, but I make it about 3.2, and it was just like minus 140 on the 3.5. So there's no technical edge there, but definitely like the Phillies in the first five, and then also the under eight. We'll see what else I end up adding to my card. I'm waiting for the evening games on Wednesday to wrap up. I need to see who gets used from the Diamondbacks bullpen, because the Diamondbacks and Cubs have used like every reliever of the past 2 days. So that may potentially be an overbet, but I'm really waiting to see how much of the D-backs pun gets used, because I make them about minus 130 for the full game, minus 138 for the first five innings. That's my biggest overnight edge at the moment. So definitely going to be targeting the Diamondbacks in both halves.
Yep, I'm right there with you. And the Cubs, they were able to hit on Tuesday, but they have not been the same offense when they've been away from home rather than when they have been at home. And to your point about the Cubs, they've used darn near everyone in the bullpen. And with Jordan Wicks going, he has not lent any length at all. Fewer than five innings in each out of his first three starts of the season. So I'm right there with you on the Arizona Diamondbacks. And Sean, I know you're doing an amazing job taking a look at this great game of baseball. And I know you're also doing great work on the UFC front. So let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, no UFC card this week. It's nice to get a week off. You know, every so often they've been going nonstop since January. But no, thank you for having me, Greg. You can find all my bets in the Action Network app. I post everything for free. I post my price targets in there, usually between 10 p.m. and midnight East Coast time every night. And you can find my opening pitch column, which is basically writing up my biggest overnight edges in the early hours of the morning, if not first thing when you wake up each morning on Monday through Thursday. So thank you for having me, Greg. Always a pleasure talking to you, and glad we're in agreement on some plays.
Absolutely. I was picking up what Sean was putting down. He is with me on a lot of these plays, and Sean does a tremendous job taking a look at this great game of baseball, and every single time he joins me, lends tremendous insight. So big thanks to Sean Zarrill of Action Network for joining me on the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast. I give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Wednesday as we touch them all.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by Sean Zarillo, who does great work over at Action Network. Every single time he joins us, I feel like we get a little bit smarter about this great game that we all know and love, and he did a tremendous job breaking down this card for Wednesday. So, big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Wednesday as we touch them all.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter /X feed at @Junin_41, and we're going to be going in Las Vegas rotation order. This is where we go with the National League games first, then the American League games, and the Interleague games, as we're going to be at the bottom. Though we do have now a doubleheader between the Royals and the White Sox, the game that was supposed to be taking place on Tuesday got added to the board on Wednesday because board had been set beforehand, and, well, you have to add a game when you have a game that gets postponed and then played the next day. So how about if we start things off with 901-902 on the betting board? The Miami Marlins are going to be playing us to the San Francisco Giants as Trevor Rogers gets a start for the Miami Marlins, and Keaton Wynn is going to be on the bump for the Giants. And the Giants do find themselves as favorites of anywhere between minus 123 to minus 130, anywhere between plus 110 to plus 115 is your number on the Miami Marlins. Total on this game is 8.5, over and under, anywhere between minus 105 to minus 115. And I'm going to be willing to lay the number with the Giants, set them as a minus 134 favorite. Trevor Rogers, when he was fully healthy during the 2022 campaign, was relatively brutal, when he was at home. He had a ERA at home that was north of 5, and Miami is supposed to be one of the most pitcher-friendly ballparks out there in the big league, so that's a little bit rough. But in his first 3 starts of the season, Rogers has done a nice job keeping the ball in the yard, giving up no home runs in 15 innings, so has given up a lot of general contact. He's got a whip of a 187, so lots of caution there. Feels like it could be a little bit worse than what it has been, though. One of the starts was also against the Atlanta Braves, and when you go up against the Atlanta Braves, that is something that you need to take into account as well. But for Keaton Wynn, like what I've seen out of him thus far this season, the 5.06 ERA, in my opinion, doesn't speak to the way that he's been able to develop as a pitcher. 6+ punch outs in 2 out of his 3 starts thus far this season, and just overall, if he can lock in a little bit more in terms of command, I think that he's going to be able to do a nice job. 7 walks in 16 innings thus far this season, and he did give up 3 walks in his last start against the Tampa Bay Rays, but still filled 5 innings, gave up just 2 runs, does an okay job of being able to keep the ball in the yard, and he's backed up by a bullpen that I'm not going to call it amazing for the Giants, but it's okay. Tyler and Taylor Rogers, both of these guys are able to give you some good innings along with Landon Robb. These guys have been in the bottom half of the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA thus far this season, but I think that there's more upside with this bullpen rather than that of the Miami Marlins, where George Soriano, after he was so good last year, has been awful. Sixto Sanchez has not been good in this bullpen. Birch Smith is giving up runs aplenty, and right now you're relying upon guys like Oscar Zobin and Brian Hoying, which that's not a place where you want to be. Couple that with the fact that the Miami Marlins have been dealing with a little bit of ailment/illness to Jake Berger, who's really their top home run hitter. He last year had 25+ home runs, so now you're relying upon guys like Brian De La Cruz and Josh Bell to be your main power bats. You've had Luis Arias be able to get online. He's now hitting once again north of 290 and a 370 on base, so that has been encouraging. But Jesus Sanchez, Vidal Brujan, Emmanuel Rivera, Nick Fortes, guys like this at the bottom of the fold have been absolutely brutal. And for the Giants, they haven't gotten a ton out of Matt Chapman just yet in terms of moving the line, but had a multi-hit game yesterday. Perhaps that's going to be able to bust him out a little bit. And the guys like Nick Ahmed, Michael Conforto, they've found a way to be able to get on base. Conforto having himself a really nice year. He, along Chapman, both have been able to supply 4 home runs. Jorge Soler, not giving you a lot in terms of average, but he's been able to win for power as well, and he's facing off against his former team in the Miami Marlins. I do think that Keaton Wynn going to be able to go out there, lend a relatively solid start, and I do think that Trevor Rogers, after he gave up a bunch of hits in his last start against the Atlanta Braves, he's going to be a little bit more bulletproof here against a Giants team that has been averaging about 5.1, 5.2 runs per game away from home, but still have some question marks with that lineup, and certainly have my question marks with the Miami Marlins, both with the lineup and the bullpen. So, going to be one to lay with the Giants, set them as a -134 favorite, and semi-total at 8.3 here at the ENF, also diving in on the under. 903, 904 on the betting board. It is the San Diego Padres. If they're facing off against the Milwaukee Brewers. For the Brewers, I was seeing on ESPN Freddy Peralta. As of right now, it is to be determined. And Michael King, he hopes to be the king for the San Diego Padres. So we shall see what is going to be happening with the Milwaukee Brewers. Because when it was supposed to be Peralta versus Michael King, I set the Brewers where I was willing to lay a -135 on them. And then in 8 or less, I was taking a look at the over. And after higher, I was going to be diving in on the under. But for the Brewers, if they don't throw Freddy Peralta in this game, and from what I'm seeing, there's a chance he still goes, but there's a chance he doesn't go. If this is indeed a bullpen game, you're probably looking at a lot of Bryce Wilson here. You're probably going to be looking at some of these other guys coming in. Perhaps this is going to be a spot where you're going to be lending multiple innings to someone like a Joel Piamps, who has went multiple innings throughout his career. Thygo Vieira might be a candidate to see some innings as well, so it's probably going to be a poo-poo platter of pitchers. I'd probably be setting the Padres more around about a -105, -110, somewhere in that neighborhood, depending upon if the Brewers call someone up. So Padres as a very slight favorite, and then this would bump up the total to where an 8.5 or less, I'd be looking at the over, a 9 or higher, I'd be looking at the under. I do think that the Brewers are going to start to regress a little bit with their offense, and we've seen it the last two nights against the San Diego Padres, 3 runs apiece for a Brewers team that entered into the series number 1 in the big leagues with regards to runs per game, and I think that it's fair to say that this Brewers team is going to be better with their bats than we thought coming into the season. Christian Yelich has been looking like the Christian Yelich of old when he's been out there with 5+ home runs, but he moves to the 10-day injured list. That's absolutely brutal for this team, but you still have Jackson Chourio, Rhys Hoskins, Willy Adames, William Contreras, all give you between 3 and 4 home runs. All these guys, really, sans Hoskins, have been able to do a solid job of hitting for a relatively solid average, as Adames along with William Contreras, they're both hitting above 300 right now. So like what I've seen there, but I do think that there's going to be a bit of a fall. If you look on Baseball Savant, the Brewers entered into Tuesday hitting about 35 points higher with their average than their expected batting average. Meanwhile, for the San Diego Padres, Jackson Merrill has been off to a tremendous start to the season, doing a nice job with the 400 on base, not supplying a ton of power, but finding a way to be able to get on base, and that's all you need when you've got Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr. supplying a combined 9 home runs. Both of these guys have been able to do a nice job moving the line, with Tatis being able to give you about a 300 batting average and on base percentage, north of a 375. Jake Cronenworth isn't necessarily amazing, but he's had a much better start to this season than a season ago. 3 home runs, 333 on base. He'll take that. The one place where the Padres are seriously outgunned, though, that would be in the bullpen. They pick up in the offseason Wandy Peralta, Aniel De Los Santos. That helps out a little bit, but Tom Cosgrove has been terrible this season after last year. He had an unreal year. Johnny Brito, he is a big giant fade in this bullpen. Don't have a lot of faith in Robert Suarez. And for the Brewers, if they're able to just cobble up like 4 or 5 halfway decent innings, you've got Hobie Milner, Elvis Piguero, Joel Piamps, all guys that had a sub-3 ERA a season ago. Brian Hudson has been relatively solid in this bullpen as well. So, interesting spot. If the Brewers do throw Freddie Peralta, I'd be willing to lay up to a -135 with them. If the Padres are not facing off against Freddie Peralta, I make Michael King the favorite, because with the King, he did have a rough start where he gave up the 7 runs against the LA Dodgers. But all in all, since he became a starter towards back half of the season last year with the New York Yankees, a sub-3 ERA, has really good swing and miss stuff as a starter. He's still been able to get about 10 punch-outs per 9 innings. Command has been a little bit all over the place. The 13 walks and 19 and a third innings have been a bit of an issue, but that said, we'd be willing to place King as more around about a -105 to a -110 favorite if they're not facing Peralta. And with Peralta, 8 or less, looking at the over, 8.5 or higher, the under. If there's no Peralta, 8.5 or less, the over, 9 or higher, the under. 9.05, 9.06 on the betting board. The New York Mets are going to be playing us the Pittsburgh Pirates. Bailey Falter hopes to not live up to his name for the Pirates, and Luis Severino is on the bump for the Mets. And the Mets do find themselves as any between -132 to -145 favorites. Any between +120 to +128 is that number on Pittsburgh. 8 to 8.5 is the total on the 8. Over is -115. The under is -105 on the 8.5. Under is between -115 to -125. Over is between -105 to +105. And for Severino and the Mets, I can only make them a -108 favorite. I'm going to be willing to take the plus price here with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Bailey Falter is not necessarily lighting the world on fire. Is not necessarily that amazing pitcher, but what he does is he reduces the walks and he doesn't beat himself. As far this season, he has looked like a different form of himself as well. Only getting 3.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, but you know what? In 3 starts, he has given up 7 runs, 4 walks in this time span. He's been able to do a nice job of just simply holding down the fort, and he goes up against someone in Luis Severino's been off to a better start this year than he had a season ago. A season ago, he was just getting banged around like a pinata. He had an ERA last season that was a 6.65. This season has allowed just 5 earned runs in 15 innings, but has been on the hook for 4 unearned runs, as well as fielding independents darn near a point higher than his ERAs. He's still giving up right around about 3.5 walks per 9 innings. He faces a Pittsburgh Pirates lineup that the best word to describe them is inconsistent, as the last few nights, they just have not been able to provide a lot of offense, 3 runs or fewer in 3 out of their last 4 games. And if you want to data back a little bit further, in now 5 out of their last 7, but you've got Connor Jones able to make things go. He's been able to give you about a 390 on base. I have to like the fact that O'Neill Cruz has been able to stay healthy thus far this season with 3 home runs, but he needs to move the line a little bit more. He, Henry Davis, Jack Swinisky hitting at 220 or lower, that's a big issue for the team. And Michael A. Taylor, after a hot start to the season, has cooled off a little bit, but I do like this Pirates bullpen as well. David Benner, Aroldis Chapman is a really good 1-2 punch at the back half of a game. You've got Colin Holderman, who he's a former Met that isn't a great reliever, but he's not too bad. He can give you formidable innings along with Jose Hernandez. And for the Mets, Edwin Diaz is absolutely tremendous at being able to close out games, but they've had to use him quite a bit these last few days. Jake Diekman has been a up-and-down guy throughout his career. Great with the Rays last year. Terrible with the Chicago White Sox prior to that. And this is not the Rays organization, I can tell you that. Brooks Raley, Drew Smith, they do a formidable job. And for the Mets, they're incredibly inconsistent with their offense as well. They very much rely upon Pete Alonso and his power. 6 home runs as far as the season, while providing about a 350 on base. Starling Marte has done a solid job to be able to move the line along with Brett Batty. But Batty is dealing with a little bit of an injury as well. So I want to be checking checking in on that front, because if you don't have him in the fold, that means that you take out the guys I just mentioned. You got one other player that has seen north of 50 at-bats as far this season, that's hitting above a 240. So you don't necessarily have a ton around these guys. Francisco Lindor has been miserable at the plate thus far this season, and I do think that for the Pittsburgh Pirates, they're going to be able to get a okay start out of Bailey Falter. Not amazing, but I do think that he does enough to be able to get the job done here. I'm going to be looking at the Pirates on the money line, and I do think that they could get to Luis Severino. I did set my total at 8.7, so riding with the Buccos, and with regards to the total, I'm going to be taking a look at the 8-8.5 over. 907-908 on the betting board. It is the Washington Nationals. And throw the facing off against the LA Dodgers. For the Nationals, it is going to be Jake Irvin, and for the Dodgers, it is old to be determined. We were thinking that it was going to be Yoshinobu Yamamoto, but it looks like it's going to be Landon Knack who's going to be getting the start. This will be his MLB debut. With it being Knack versus Irvin, I personally made my handicap to where I'm willing to lay up to a minus 130 on the Dodgers run line. I set them on the money line at a minus 236, and then with regards to the total, I set it at a 9.7, so 9.5 or less, looking at the over 10 or higher to the under, and would need at least a plus 237 to take a shot on the Nationals. Jake Irvin has shown some signs of being relatively okay. Swing and miss stuff is up a little bit from a season ago. Last year, he was getting less than 6.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. Really wasn't able to put guys away, but 14 strikeouts in 17 innings. That signs of being able to move in the right direction. 5 walks in 17 innings. Not amazing, but it looks like he's going to be a hold down the 4 pitcher. Meanwhile, for Knack in his MLB debut, he was actually a second round pick out of ETSU a few seasons ago. That's East Tennessee State University, and he's been solid at the minor league level. He has made quite a few starts for Oklahoma City, which is out there in a juice ball PCL, and has been able to hold his own with a sub-375 ERA at the AAA level. And the PCL is actually really good. Not necessarily blow away strikeout stuff at the minor league level. He's always, for his career, been right around about 10 punchouts per 9 innings. Last few seasons, he's been closer to 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, but does a nice job not giving out a ton of walks, has really been able to mitigate hard contact, so I do like his upside here, and he's got a lineup that all he needs to do is pretty much present like 5 innings and 3 runs, and they'll have his back, because Mookie Betts, Teoscar Hernandez, Shohei Ohtani, Max Muncy, all 4-plus home runs entering into the game yesterday, and all these guys have really done a nice job moving the line. All these guys have been able to give you at least a 340 on base, everyone except for Muncy hitting at least a 285. Shohei Ohtani has really been able to get his act together as well. You've got Freddie Freeman, who's not hitting for a ton of power right now, but still giving you darn near 400 on base. Will Smith is giving you darn near 400 on base. The bottom of the fold, guys like Gavin Lux, Chris Taylor, they need to pick it up. But for the Washington Nationals, you have to have your trepidations with this lineup as well. Joey Gallo's right now your main power guy, and he's hitting a buck 40 better than myself. That's not where you want to be, though. Jesse Winker has been amazing. Nearly a 500 on base for him. He supplied a home run yesterday, really the main form of offense for them yesterday, and CJ Abrams, 3-plus home runs. He's able to give you a 365 on base. He's able to swipe a few bags. But what are you going to be able to get out of some of these guys like Eddie Rosario, Nick Senzel, the catcher spot in general with Kiber Ruiz, along Drew Millis? These guys have not necessarily stepped up. And for the LA Dodgers, this bullpen has not necessarily been the same that it has been in past seasons. They let go of Shelby Miller in the offseason, Caleb Ferguson, guys like this, and Ryan Brazier is not quite as effective as he was a season ago. But Evan Phillips, he's been able to do a nice job in the closer's role. You got Danny Hudson, who's very reliable as well. And for the Washington Nationals, I do like what they've been able to get out of more of these guys, like Jordan Weems. Kyle Finnegan is a guy that I really don't trust at the closer spot, but Derek Law has been very solid for the team as well. So it's a very interesting spot. I do think that the Washington Nationals are going to have a little bit of a rough time here after Patrick Corbin did not necessarily give the start that they were desiring on Tuesday. Shock, shock, surprise, surprise. So want to go to a 9.5 or less on the over, 10 or higher to the under. And for the Dodgers, want to lay up to a minus 130 on that run line. Need at least a plus 237 to take a shot on the Nationals money line. 909, 910 on the betting board is going to be the DK Network right to pick the Arizona Diamondbacks by us to Chicago Cubs, as Jordan Wicks goes for the Cubbies, and it is Brandon Pfaadt who gets the start for Arizona. Arizona, anywhere between a minus 110 to a minus 120 favorite, anywhere between plus 105, seeing some even money, and minus 105 is your number on the Cubs. 9 to 9.5 is your total. On the 9, over is minus 130. The under is plus 110. On the 9.5, over is anywhere between even money and minus 110. The under is anywhere between minus 110 to a minus 120. Right up here, we were talking about it with Sean Zerillo. I'm going to be taking the Diamondbacks on the money line. I did set this number at a minus 138. Brandon Pfaadt does enter having struggled in his last two starts against the St. Louis Cardinals. Coupled with that, the start against the Atlanta Braves. But prior to that, in 19 19- total appearances since getting recalled from the minor leagues essentially for a second time. He was posting up about a 3.88 ERA with two walks per nine innings, and he's, in my opinion, much more of a candidate to lend length than Jordan Wicks. Both of these bullpens have been used quite a bit, and for Wicks, he has made three starts this far this season, and he has yet to make it out of a full five in any of them, and that's because he's just very wild. 13.5 strikeouts per nine innings is tremendous, but 5.68 ERA with 5.7 walks per nine innings, and this Cubs bullpen, 21st in the big leagues in terms of ERA with a 4.75. The Diamondbacks, they've got a 3.83 bullpen ERA. At the very least, these two teams did have that going into the night on Tuesday, but I do have a little bit more faith in this Arizona Diamondbacks bullpen, despite the fact that you don't necessarily have that one, like, rock-solid closer or anything like that, but you've been able to get some pretty formidable innings out of guys like a Kyle Nelson. I like what you've been able to get out of Ryan Thompson as well. Kevin Ginkle has not necessarily been too bad. And for the Chicago Cubs, they had to use up a lot of their trustworthy guys last few nights. Mark Leiter Jr., someone that's been tremendous. They had to use him up yesterday along with Luke Little. Jose Quas out of the bullpen has been absolutely terrible for the team. And for the Chicago Cubs, it's been very hit or miss with the offense. Going into yesterday, averaging just 4.1 runs per contest when they've been away from home. At home, averaging more like 7.3 runs per game. And for the Cubs going into yesterday, they actually had the league's worst batting average in the National League in terms of just their overall road performance. Going against a Diamondbacks team that at home is averaging more than 5.8 runs per game, the Diamondbacks team has not necessarily even gotten a lot out of Corbin Carroll, who's hitting for just about a 235, not a lot of power. But you've got Lourdes Gurriel, Christian Walker, Kettle Marte, who have all been able to give you at least three home runs. All these guys are hitting at least a 270 with at least a 333 on base as well. Blaze Alexander has been able to give you some pop. He's done a really good job of being able to hit for over a 300 as well. And for Cody Bellinger, it's been a struggle for him all season long. He's hitting just .182 with a .286 on base. You've got a lot of guys, so that they are able to get on base. Miguel Amaya, Matt Bush, along with Nico Horner, have all been able to do a solid job with at least a .360 on base. And for Ian Happ, gets his first home run of the season yesterday. Michael Bush had a streak of five straight games with a home run, gets snapped yesterday, so they've been able to get a lot of pop there. But that said, I just don't have a lot of faith in Jordan Wicks along with this bullpen. I do think that the Diamondbacks find a way to be able to get to Wicks. I did set my total at a 9.7. I like the over in my write-up pick here. That's on the Diamondbacks money line, willing to go up to a -138. 9-11, 9-12 on the betting board. The Philadelphia Phillies playoffs to the Colorado Rockies. Ryan Feltner goes for the Rockies. Christopher Sanchez is on the bump for the Phillies, and the Phillies find themselves as sizable favorites. You're going to be finding them anywhere between -212 to -235. Meanwhile, with the old Colorado Rockies, you're going to be getting them between +185 to +$2. 8 is the total. Under is any between -115 to a -125. Over is between -105 to a +105. And if you're looking to lay a run and a half with the Phillies, anywhere between -105 to a -110. And I'm willing to lay that run and a half. I did set the Phillies at a -115 on the run line. And I do like this total over. I set my total at an 8.8 for the Colorado Rockies. They're always a miserable team on offense when they are away from home. You saw it last season, about 3.65 runs per game away from home, more like 5.35 runs per game at home. The elevation changes are just rampant. And the Colorado Rockies yesterday scored as many runs as myself. But that said, you still have someone in Ryan McMahon who's done a really good job moving the line, whether that be at home or away from home. He and Elias Diaz both have been able to hit north of a .320. And then Brendan Doyle has been a nice find for the team as well. He, along with Ezekiel Tovar, both hitting above a .280. With Doyle, he's been able to provide a trio of home runs. You've been able to get a little bit of power out of Tovar as well. But all in all, when you do have these guys like Nolan Jones, Chris Bryant, Miguel Toglia, it does make it very rough to be able to get anything going on offense. And for the Philadelphia Phillies, Bryce Harper finally was able to get a home run, first time since that three home run game a few weeks ago. He's been stuck in the mud a little bit, 300 on base, .215 batting average. Other than that three home run game, it has been tough. But you've got guys that are, it feels like, starting to bust out a little bit, as Trey Turner has been able to above a 300. Bryson Stott, Brandon Marsh, these guys have been able to get on consistently. JT Realmuto has three home runs. And for the Philadelphia Phillies, after the bullpen struggled the first few weeks of the season, it feels like you're getting more out of Jose Alvarado along with Sir Anthony Dominguez. And really have loved Junior Marte just overall in general. Jeff Hoffman, Matt Strom, these guys are able to do a nice job of locking it down. And for the Colorado Rockies last year, they were dead last in the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA. And while they might not be dead last this season, they're going to be rough once again. Anthony Molina has been just absolutely terrible for the team. Victor Vodnik is someone that I actually really do like, but Jake Bird has been giving you the bird whenever they use him. You've had Jalen Beeks actually be halfway okay for the team, but you've got Anthony Molina and his nearly 25 ERA. That makes things relatively rough on you as well. And for Ryan Feltner, he honestly hasn't been bad this far this season. He's got a sub-350 ERA. He took that comebacker a season ago, so very good story on him being able to just get back into the big league level in general, but has never really been too much of a swing and miss guy. The command is somewhat questionable, to say the least, throughout Feltner's career, right around about 4 walks per 9 innings thus far this season. He's got a fielding dependent that is about 0.6 points higher than his ERA, though. Overall for his career, he's got a fielding independent that's more than a point lower than his ERA, so perhaps he's getting a little bit of payback there. But that said, with Ryan Feltner, I do think that he's going to begin to regress a little bit. And for Christopher Sanchez, after he gave up just 2 walks per 9 innings a season ago, he has been a little bit more wild, so that's something to be mindful of. But with Christopher Sanchez last year, he was able to get right around about 8 to 8.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. I think going up against this Colorado Rockies lineup, he's going to be able to excel. He's been able to do a nice job of just being able to keep the ball in the yard as well. As he had to give up a home run this far this season, after last year he did give up quite a bit of hard contact. So with that said, I'm going to be taking a look at the Philadelphia Phillies on the run line. I set them at a -115, and with my total set it at an 8.8, so I also do like this total over 913, 914 on the betting board. It is the Minnesota Twins. They hit the road. They're facing off against the Baltimore Orioles. Pablo Lopez is on the bump for the Minnesota Twins, and it was looking like Tyler Wells was going to be on the bump for the Baltimore Orioles. As of right now, this is old undecided, and when this game was pulled off the board, you're finding this as a pick'em, anywhere between -105 to -110, with the total at an 8, the over at -115, the under is -105. I have to figure that once a starter gets announced for the Orioles, as listening to the post-game press conference for the manager of the Orioles, and Mr. Hyde, he had said that it's completely TBD. I'm assuming that this is probably going to be a bullpen game for the Orioles, so I would need at least a +122 to take a shot on the Orioles. -120 or less, I'm siding with the Twins, and then semi-total to wear an 8 or less, I'll be taking a look at the over, actually an 8.5 or less. Going to be looking at the over 9 or higher. I'm going to be taking a look at the under for Pablo Lopez. He's pitched better than what the ERA would indicate really throughout his time with the Minnesota Twins. Now, he got rocked and rolled in his last start against the Detroit Tigers. He gives up a home run, lasts just 4 innings, gives up 5 runs on 6 hits, but it feels like it's really been just a Pablo Lopez experience here this season. For Lopez, he's been able to get about 10 strikeouts per 9 innings ever since he's come over to the Minnesota Twins, and you just take a look at these numbers. He's got a fielding independent of a 335, 376 ERA, 10.5 strikeouts, 2.2 walks per 9 innings, while allowing about 1.1 home runs per 9 innings as a member of the Minnesota Twins, so has been a little bit baffling. And for the Orioles, you have to think that they're going to try to call someone up from the minor league level, but I'm thinking that you're going to be getting a lot of Mike Bauman in this game. Keegan Aiken is someone that used to be a starter. Yoan Ramirez is able to fill multiple innings, and you probably don't want Yoan Ramirez pitching, but if you're able to fill 5 innings for this team, you've got a lot of guys that are able to hold down the fort. Jacob Webb has been rock solid in the bullpen. Craig Kimbrell thus far has not been bad, though I never have any faith in him whatsoever. Yennier Cano, Danny Colomb, this is one of the better bullpens that you're going to find in the big leagues, and for the Minnesota Twins, they're the top 3 team in terms of bullpen ERA as well. This is despite the fact that Yoan Duran has been out of the fold and has not been able to give the team anything whatsoever, but Stephen Oakert, Cody Funderburg, Jay Jackson, Brock Stewart, these guys have all been good. But what is absolutely awful for the Minnesota Twins is currently this lineup. They muster up 3 runs yesterday, but you take a look at the Minnesota Twins in games that have not went to extra innings, because that game against the Tigers where they generated the 11, they needed, I believe, 11 innings in that one. But I mean, sans that game, that is the only time this month that the Twins have been able to break 4 runs. Now, there should be some positivity coming for this Minnesota Twins lineup. I'm not saying it's going to be great by any stretch of the imagination, but you take a look at Baseball Savant. They've been one of the more unlucky teams in terms of batting average in the league, hitting a .194 entering into the day yesterday. They are expected to be hitting about 30 points higher. Byron Buxton was able to triple yesterday. That helps out the team a little bit. You've got Alex Kirilloff, Ryan Jeffers, both of these guys are hitting in that pocket about a 285 to a 295. Carlos Correa being hurt, though, that really does kill this team. And if you do have Carlos Correa indeed out of the fold, you have to be thinking that this team has 3 guys are healthy that are able to hit above a 250, and the guy that's hitting a 250 is Trevor Larnach, who is 1-for-4 thus far this season. Edouard Julien and Ryan Jeffers have 7 of the team's 15 home runs thus far this season, but I do think that a bullpen game of the Baltimore Orioles should be able to provide them a little bit of run scoring. Meanwhile, for the Orioles, Gunnar Henderson has been tremendous. 5 home runs thus far this season, but it's not just him. Ryan O'Hearn, Colton Cowser, Cedric Mullins, Jordan Westberg, all have 4 home runs thus far this season. Everyone except for Mullins hitting at least a 315 in that pocket. Anthony Santander has been a little bit rough at the plate in terms of being able to get on base, but Ryan Mountcastle hitting above a 300. These guys are just absolutely ripping the cover off the ball. So I had to set my total a little bit higher in this one. It's a true battle of one really, really good offense and one really, really bad offense, but you do have some solid pitching on the flip side for the Minnesota Twins. So I'm going to be willing to lay up to a minus 120 with the Twins in this spot if it is indeed a bullpen game, plus 122 or higher, looking at the Orioles. And then 8.5 or less, I like the over, 9 or higher, the under. 915, 916 on the betting board. The Walker Texas Rangers hit the road. They're facing off against the Detroit Tigers as it's Tarik Skubal is going to be on the bump for the old Tigers. And Dane Dunning looks to get her Dunning for Texas. And Texas is back to being an underdog. You're going to be getting them anywhere between plus 122 to plus 128. Anywhere between minus 138 to minus 148. That number on the Tigers, and your total is 7.5. On the 7.5, the under is minus 120, and the over is even. Did set my total at 7.8. I think we went a little bit too low on this total. I'm going to be looking at the over now for Tarik Skubal. He had an ERA that was touching right around 2 when he was at home a season ago. Got a little bit lit up against the Oakland A's to begin the season this year, but all in all, when he has been at home, he has been very, very dominant. But I do take a look at this ordeal. I think we've gone a little bit too far downward because I do think that the Texas Rangers are going to be able to get to him. Texas Rangers have been a little bit spotty in terms of their offense recently. As a matter of fact, they have scored 2 runs or fewer in now 3 out of the last 4 games and in 4 out of their last 6 games. But you know that these guys are able to produce at the plate. You got Adolis Garcia, who's been able to 300 with 4 home runs this far this season. Marcus Semien has found a way to be able to give you about a 360 on base, as has Corey Seager. Wyatt Langford has yet to hit the deep ball, but he's been able to find a way to be able to get on base as well, and I do think that it's a matter of time before the Rangers do get that home run ball going. Although I will say, for the Rangers, they were just fine on offense last season, despite the fact that pretty much all their home runs were coming at home. Meanwhile, for the Detroit Tigers, the offense has been a little bit miserable this year, not gonna lie. You just take a look at these guys, and they're top 4 players in terms of total at-bats, and 5 out of their top 6 players are leaning a 222 or lower. That's not what you want to find. Gio Urshela has really been the lone guy that has been able to move the line among their consistent starters. So Matt Fielding, Kerry Carpenter, both of these guys hitting right around about a 300 as well. But you've right now got Riley Green. Mark Canha has been able to provide 3 home runs apiece, but just 12 home runs in 17 games for the team thus far this season. They need to be improving that a little bit, but this Tigers bullpen is one of the best in the big leagues. Top 3 team with regards to bullpen ERA. It's just everyone that is rock solid. Alex Lang, Jason Foley, Andrew Chafin, Will Vest, you name it. Just everyone in this bullpen is good. And for the Texas Rangers, Kirby Yates, along with David Robertson, these were nice additions. And I like what Jose Leclerc is able to bring to the table. Can be a little bit of a roll of the dice from time to time, but I do think that he's going to be able to do a rock solid job in this ordeal. And you've also got a few guys that are able to come in, just hold down the 4-4 and any like a Jacob Lyons as well. Meanwhile, for Dane Dunning, throughout his career with the Texas Rangers, always has been a better pitcher when he has been at home rather than away from home. As a matter of fact, away from home, his ERA rises by darn near a full point, though he was better on the road a season ago. And for Dane Dunning, not necessarily going to be able to give you a ton of strikeouts or anything like that. Last year, about 7.3 punch-outs per 9 innings, but he's been able to reduce the walks recently. Last year, he gave out about 3 walks per 9 innings, and he only gave up about 1 home run per 9 innings. So we've seen him be a little bit shaky thus far this season, so it is an interesting circumstance. I do think that the offense is going to be able to erupt a little bit more for Texas here, but I absolutely love the way that Tarik Skubal is just rolling as well. So I set my line at a minus 133. Getting what we're getting right now, I'd be willing to take the plus 134 that I currently see with the Texas Rangers on the money line. And here at a 7.5, looking at the over. 917, 918 is going to be in conjecture with 931, 932 on the card. This is our double dip between the Kansas City Royals and the Chicago White Sox. In game number 1, it is going to be Brady Singer who's on the bump for the Royals, and Jonathan Cannon is on the bump for the White Sox. Meanwhile, game number 2 sees Eric Fetty Wap going for the White Sox, Michael Wacha, and he hopes to not be the dying Pac-Man voice of Michael Wacha, 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 Wacha. He's going to be going for the Kansas City Royals, and when the game was pulled off the board yesterday with the Royals, you're finding them as right around about minus 185 to minus 195 favorites. About plus 165 to plus 175 was your number with the Chicago White Sox, with 8 being the total, over and under pretty much at minus 110 on both sides. And If we get a similar number here, it would be a spot where I'd be willing to entertain the Royals run line. Laying a run and a half with them, you were laying about minus 110 to a minus 115. I'd be willing to lay up to about a minus 125 in this ordeal with Brady Singer. I don't think that he's going to be thrown off by the fact that we had a little bit of rain yesterday. And for Brady Singer, he was legitimately one of the most unlucky pitchers in all of baseball last season. A fielding independent more than a half a point lower than his actual ERA. I think that he comes in and is able to do a tremendous job of holding down a Chicago White Sox team that has one of the most brutal lineups I've ever seen in my life, with Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez being out of the fold. I mean, they just have absolutely no options whatsoever to be able to give them production. Gavin Sheets has been halfway okay at being able to move the line. Two home runs with a 270 average, but I mean, man, you just take a look at it and you're begging for anyone to be able to give you some sort of production, as you've got David Fletcher, who's been able to about a 255, hasn't necessarily been completely awful there. And I mean, those are the terms I'm having to use. Not completely awful. Yoan Moncada, when he's out there, he's been able to give you a little bit of production as well. But among players that have seen at least 25 at-bats thus far this season, you've currently got four guys earning above a 217. Oh my goodness, it is just not great to say the least, and the power numbers, they certainly are not there as well. 8 home runs this far this season. Meanwhile, for the Royals, even though you're not getting any average out of them, Mikel Garcia has been able to provide you with 3 home runs this far this season. Salvador Perez is hitting above 300. He's been able to provide some bombs. Bobby Witt Jr. has been really the constant for the team, as he's had a little bit of inconsistency with the team, but he and Nelson Velasquez, 3+ home runs, really doing a nice job of being able to give the team some nice production at the plate. Now for the Kansas City Royals, their bullpen is not great to say the least. James MacArthur is a guy that I have absolutely no faith in whatsoever. Chris Renton, along with Will Smith, they get jiggy with it coming over from the Rangers. Not good, but Joey Leisure is right now who you're relying upon for the Chicago White Sox as well, who hasn't been terrible. Michael Kopech has looked a little bit better out there in the bullpen as well, but that said, I do take a look at the circumstance, and I do think that the Royals should be a Mondo favorite, so I'd be willing to lay up to about a minus 125 or so on that run line. And in terms of the Jonathan Cannon and Brady Singer start, I'd be looking at an 8 or less to the over, 8.5 or higher to the under with Jonathan Cannon, former third-round pick out of Georgia. This is going to be his MLB debut. When he was at the minor league level, wasn't bad. Really didn't impress you at all, though. He would get about like 8 to 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. Just in watching tape from, this stuff is good. It's not great. He was giving up about 3 walks per 9 innings. And I mean, for the Chicago White Sox, it'll take average at this point because they are well below it. So this is a spot where at a 8 or less, looking at the over, 8.5 or higher to the under, willing to lay up to a minus 125 on that Royals run line. Then 931, 932 with Waka versus Fetty. Right now, Circa has an opener of minus 151 on the Royals, plus 138 on the White Sox. And then a total of 8.5 over is minus 120. The under is even. Did set my total at a 9.3. I'm going to be looking at the over. I do think that Michael Wacha is due in for a little bit more regression. Last few seasons at the big league level, he entered into his last start 26-6. He was posting up a sub-3.3 ERA, but a fielding independent more than a half a point higher. He has been quite lucky on balls in play, but for Eric Fetty, I think that he can actually go out there and lend a relatively good start. And the Chicago White Sox, they need every bit of length that they can get out of Eric Fetty this far this season in his 3 starts. He has given up 5 home runs in 14 2/3 innings. The deep ball has been a big issue for him. Always has been. Was an issue for him when he was with Washington Nationals before going to the KBO and absolutely dominating out there. But he's been able to do a better job of being able to get swings and misses now. He's getting about 8.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. So he's got a fielding independent of a 7.18. That's just because of the small sample size and the home runs. I do think that he's going to be able to do a little bit of a better job here. But he has to go up against the Kansas City Royals team that I was alluding to. They've done a nice job of being able to put bat to ball. You do have a few guys towards the bottom of the fold, like Adam Frazier, Hunter Renfro there, leaving a little bit of something to be desired. But all in all, I do take a look at this spot, and I do think that with both of these bullpens probably being used quite a bit in this game, I do think that you're going to be able to get a high run total. So I'd be looking at the over on that 8.5. I set my total at 9.3. And once again with the Royals, set them as a minus 181 on the money line. I'd be willing to go up to about a minus 124 on that run line. Right now you're getting that at circa plus 104. So looking at the run line on the Royals on both games, if it is indeed an 8 total in Singer versus Cannon, we'll be looking at the over, and we'll be looking at the over on an 8.5 in Fetty versus Walker. 919, 920 on the bang board. The Toronto Blue Jays, they are playing host to the New York Yankees. Marcus Stroman is on the bump for the Yankees, and Kevin Gausman goes for the Toronto Blue Jays. Blue Jays are anywhere between plus 102 to, I'm seeing, as bad as a minus 110. Meanwhile, with the New York Yankees, you're finding them anywhere between even money and minus 112. Total on this game is anywhere between 8 and 8.5 on the 8. The over is minus 115. The under is minus 105 on the 8.5. Over and under, anywhere between minus 105 to a minus 115. And I did set the total at an 8.9. I'm in firm agreement with Sean's rule. I'm going to be taking a look at the over for Kevin Gausman. He's just not in good form right now. Got completely lit up in his last start against the Colorado Rockies, and it's just not even worth mentioning his 2023 numbers, because this is clearly not the same guy that we saw in 2023. He was dealing with arm fatigue when it came to spring training. I know that he has been just dealing with issues in general. He's gotten 10 strikeouts in 9 2/3 innings, and is still not walking, guys. But when you don't necessarily have your normal stuff and you're not walking, guys, that puts the ball right in the middle of the plate. Meanwhile, for Marcus Stroman, had a miserable start against the Miami Marlins, giving up 4 runs over the course of 5 innings. First two starts were halfway decent, though. He has been tagged with 3 unearned runs thus far this season. Last time he faced off against the Blue Jays, this was at home. He was able to pitch 6 scoreless innings before the schlubs in the bullpen completely gave that game away. But just don't really like the form of Marcus Stroman right now. He last season, when he had his sub-3 ERA going into the All-Star break, was getting very lucky on balls in play. And he's backed up by Yankees bullpen that they get back Ron Mananacchio, which I really like that addition. Caleb Ferguson, Victor Gonzalez, these are guys that aren't great, aren't terrible. Ian Hamilton last season was pretty solid for this Yankees team, but when you're relying upon like Luke Weaver for long relief, that's not great. And for the Blue Jays, they get back Jordan Romano. They did have to use him yesterday, but Yimi Garcia, after he had a rough season last year, he's looking much better though. Tim Mesa, he was tremendous for the team last season. He has seen quite a bit of fall, but now you also get Eric Swanson back, who last few seasons he's been registering a sub-3 ERA. I do think that for the Blue Jays, they should see a little bit of positivity moving forward. Entered into yesterday hitting at .229 as collective with Justin Turner just carrying the team. Hitting for about a .450 on base, has provided just 1 home run, but has found a way on. Meanwhile, you've got Vlad Guerrero Jr. has given you 3 home runs, but he, George Springer, Dalton Varsho, Bo Bichette, Alejandro Kirk, don't call his name, Kevin Kiermaier, all these guys are hitting right now a .221 or lower, with Guerrero and George Springer also giving you about a .350 on base, but so you need to see that go northward. Meanwhile, for the New York Yankees, Aaron Judge has been off to a little bit of a rough start to begin the season. He had that nice home run against the Cleveland Guardians a few days ago, but he's hitting a .182 with a .337 on base. Need a little bit more there. It's when Juan Soto and Anthony Volpe both giving you north of a .430 on base that has really been supplying for the team. Giancarlo Stanton, he's been able to give you some nice power thus far this season as well, 4+ home runs. Not necessarily getting on base. He's become an all or nothing guy, but bottom of the fold with catcher spot, Gleyber Torres. This has been a little bit rough for the Yankees as well. And I do think that for the Blue Jays, Kevin Gausman still dealing with some arm fatigue, what have you. But I think that'll look a little bit better in this start. And I do think that you're going to get plenty of runs from both of these starters surrendered. So I did set the Blue Jays at a -138. I like them on the money line and sub by total at an 8.9. So also looking at the over. 921, 922 on the betting board. The LA Angels hit the road to face off against the Tampa Bay Rays. Zach Little hopes to come up big for the Rays, and Reed Detmers is on the bump for the Halos. Angels are and between +110 to +118 underdogs, and between -120 to -130 is that number on the Rays. 8 is the total. Unders between -110 to a -120. The overs between even and -110. And with the Rays, I did set them at a -139. I'm going to be willing to roll with them on the money line. Ever since Zach Little became a starter, he's been able to do a really nice job here for the Tampa Bay Rays. He just does not give up walks at all. Since he became a starter in the back half of the 2023 campaign, his walks per 9 rate is sub-2. So that has been really impressive to see. And you just take a look at what Zach Little has done throughout his career as a starter. I think that he got a few opening opportunities very early on during his career, but that said, never really became a big league starter up until last season. But his stuff as a starter, about a .390 ERA. He's done a nice job mitigating hard contact, only giving up about 1.05 home runs per 9 innings. Meanwhile, he has to go up against someone in Reed Detmers, who's getting a lot of swings and misses. Last year, he was able to give you about 10.5 punch outs per 9 innings for Detmers. It felt like he got really unlucky, as he's backed up by some fielding that is a little bit less than tremendous. He currently has a fielding independent this year of a .44. Last year, .448 ERA, .413 fielding independent, and in his first 3 starts of the season, he has been lights out, 26 punch outs in 17 and a third innings, giving up just 2 runs. But it does feel like the Tampa Bay Rays starting to find it a little bit more in terms of their offense. We have seen some runs scored in this series, and I do think that Randy Arozarena, Yandy Diaz, it has to start with them. Both of these guys entered in the series hitting below .225, not necessarily giving you a whole lack of a lot of power, so that's been a big issue. Meanwhile, it's been an Angels team that has been very, very top-heavy. Like Mike Trout, Taylor Ward, these guys are amazing. 13 home runs this far this season. Both of these guys hitting at a relatively solid average at about a .280 to a .290 apiece, but I'd say these two guys I believe that you've got a total of 6 home runs for the rest of the team combined. You've had Logan Hoppe provide about a .430 on base, but the likes of Nate Chenal, Zach Neto, along with Aaron Hicks, these are guys that are not moving the line. To the credit of Anthony Rendon, over the last week and a half, he's hitting above a .300, so we'll give a little bit of credit where credit is due. And for the Tampa Bay Rays, the guys not named Randy Arozarena and Yandy Diaz, they've been able to do a solid job of being able to reach base. Yerick Abreu sitting about a .280. Amed Rosario sitting above a .300, though he's been a little bit in and out of the fold. Richie Palacios has been able to give you some good at-bats. And for the Rays, they actually entered the series dead last in the big leagues. In terms of bullpen ERA, you know that's going to turn around. You've got so many rock solid guys like Jason Adam, Colin Pouchet. Pete Fairbanks has been a tremendous closer, and for the LA Angels, they're going with reclamation projects. Hunter Strickland is someone that's still somehow, some way in the league. Luis Garcia has not provided you anything whatsoever. Adam Simber, Jose Cicerano, these are guys I don't have faith in. Now, get to Carlos Acevedo, Matt Moore in the 8th and 9th inning. Now we're talking, but that said, I think that Little is going to do a nice job of just not coming up Little, coming up big, and I think that Reed Detmers gives a good start, but I think that the bullpen and the schlubs behind him not going to be able to do their part. Did set my total at 8.3 for Detmers. Gets a little bit more figure out here. So looking at the over, and I do like the Tampa Bay Rays on the money line, willing to lay up to a minus 138. 923, 924 on the betting board. The Boston Red Sox play also Cleveland Guardians. Ben Lively is on the bump for Cleveland, and Tanner Houck is on the bump for Boston. Boston is a favorite of about minus 135 to minus 142. Seeing a stray minus 132 out there as well. And between plus 118 to plus 125 is your number on Cleveland. 9 is the total. Over is minus 120, and the under, it is even. And I did semi-line to where I'm willing to lay up to a minus 132 on the money line with the Boston Red Sox. We are just there, but I'm going to be willing to lay it with Tanner Houck. He has been relatively unlucky throughout his career. He gives up a little bit of our contact with about 1.2 home runs per 9 innings, but had a fielding independent more than a half a point better than his ERA a season ago after he was giving up the 3.5 walks per 9 innings, no doubt, but has always been solid with getting about 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. I think that he's going to be able to bounce back after in his last start. He got tattooed by the LA Angels, giving up 7 runs, 4 of which were earned in 5 and 2-thirds innings. But first 2 starts of the season, 12 scoreless innings with 17 strikeouts. Loved what I saw there. And for Ben Lively, season ago, he was getting about 8 strikeouts to 2.5 walks per 9 innings. But he started out really strong, and then he just tapered off. He came over from the KBO after he was pitching for the Samsung Lions for a few seasons. And for Lively, the biggest issue with him, giving up hard contact. Gave up about 2 home runs per 9 innings a season ago. And Boston, as we know, is very much a hitter's ballpark. Even though it is still a little bit colder out there, I do think that he's going to be taken deep a little bit in this one. Tristan Casas, Tyler O'Neill, between the two of them, they've already got 12 home runs thus far this season. Rafael Devers, Trevor Story being on the injured list hurts. And you need the young guys to be able to step up for the Boston Red Sox. Emmanuel Valdez, Pablo Reyes, Willian Abreu, along with Sedine, Rafaela. All these guys are hitting below the Mendoza line of a 200, and Masataka Yoshida hitting just a 215 with no power. That's not terrific, to say the least. Meanwhile, for the Cleveland Guardians, they have hit left-handed pitching much better than right-handed pitching, so do be alert of that. But you got a lot of guys who are finding a way on base. Josh Naylor, Stephen Kwan, Andrés Giménez, they're all hitting at least a .300. Gabriel Arias in a limited amount of at-bats is also hitting above a .300. And for Josh and Bo Naylor, they've been able to supply the boom, a combined 6 home runs between these two guys for the Guardians. They're still not necessarily a super powerful lineup, but after they were by far dead last in the big leagues with regards to home runs, this has been a nice find for them. Them just being able to generate a little bit more power. And this Guardians bullpen is one of the most elite out there in the big leagues as well. Emmanuel Clase just absolutely closes the door as a reliever. Meanwhile, you've got the likes of Kate Smith, Nick Sandlin, Hunter Gaddis, Tim Aaron. All these guys are providing a sub-225 ERA thus far this season, though they did have to burn through quite a bit of that pen yesterday after these two teams play 11 innings, and that means that Kenley Jansen, Chris Martin, they were both used up yesterday by the Boston Red Sox. Justin Slayton has been tremendous. He's actually got a sub-1 ERA. I like what I've seen out of him, but they had DFA Isaiah Campbell after he was absolutely terrible. Brandon Bernardino is someone they like, but they used him for a lot of pitches as well, so I do think that it's going to be a bit dicey for this Red Sox bullpen, but I do think that they're going to be able to get to Lively in this spot, and I do think that you're going to see runs put up on the board. So my total at a 9.2 here at the 9. Looking at the over end, with the Red Sox willing to lay up to a minus 132 on that money line. 925, 926 on the betting board. The Atlanta Braves hit the road to face off against the Houston Astros. JP France is on the bump for the Astros, and Max Fried is on the bump for Atlanta. Atlanta is a favorite of any between minus 142 to a minus 155, between plus 124 to plus 138. Your number on Houston, 9 is the total, over is minus 120, and the under is even. With Houston, needed at least a plus 145 to be able to take a shot on them. If you're looking at the run line of the Atlanta Braves, find that just a plus 105 to a plus 110. Right now, seeing that minus 142 out there on the Braves' money line at Circa, that's where I'm going to be landing on this one. It's a little bit too dicey to lay the run line, only getting about a plus 105 to a plus 110 in this ordeal, especially with Max Fried being a bit all over the place. Last start, he looked relatively good, but he could hardly get out there on the field last year. And when he was out there on the field, he was a relative just touch and go pitcher in general thus far this season for Max Fried. 874 ERA, but there's signs of positivity, a 420 fielding independent. The command has been a little bit off though. Typically Max Fried really good in terms of not issuing a lot of walks for his career, about 2.3 to 2.4 walks per nine innings. Never has been a super high strikeout guy with about nine punch outs per nine innings, but he's been able to do a nice job being able to mitigate hard contact this year, giving up less than home run per nine innings. So I do think that things are going to be ticking up for him. And for JP France last season, he had an ERA that was well north of four at home, and you just saw the warning signs that he was going to regress. 383 ERA last season, but a 466 fielding independent, getting just 6.7 strikeouts, north of three walks per nine innings. He's pitching very similarly this year, and he's just getting absolutely tattooed. And now he has to go up against an Atlanta Braves team that, well, this is really your league's best offense. Marcell Ozuna is on an absolute tear. Seven home runs, hitting well above a 350 right now, but I mean, it's everyone for this team. Michael Harris, Austin Riley, Matt Olson, Ozzie Albies. All these guys have multiple home runs. All these guys are hitting at least a 280. Ronald Acuna Jr. has been slow out of the gates, and yet this team is still doing a rock-solid job. He's now giving you a 400 on base, but has yet to hit a home run thus far this season. You know that that's going to be coming. Jarek Kelnick in his limited sample size has been very good. And for the Houston Astros, the top of the lineup is very good. Yordan Alvarez, Jose Altuve, both of these guys have been great. Both have been able to give you four or five home runs. Both of these guys supplying you with at least a 385 on base. And now you've got five bombs out of Kyle Tucker, is providing about a 370 on base. Jeremy Pena is hitting a 350, but Chaz McCormick, Jose Abreu, both of these guys hitting below a 220 has been a little bit of an issue. You were hoping for perhaps a little bit more of Jonathan Singleton, though. He's starting to be able to move the line as well, but for the Houston Astros, this bullpen is just not what it once was. Losing guys like Ryan Stanek, Phil Maton, Hector Neris has been rough. You saw Brian Abreu from those past championship teams, but that said, you're going to need to just get Josh Hader online a little bit more, as Josh Hader has been not good thus far this season. A 939 ERA just has not looked sharp, and for Ryan Presley, he's very up and down as well. And for the Atlanta Braves, it's a bullpen that is about league average right now. I do think that's going to be going northward, as I absolutely love Rossi Iglesias as a closer. Tyler Madsen coming off of injury has been a little bit rough, but love what I've seen out of AJ Minter, Joey Jimenez, guys like this, I think are going to be able to hold down the fort. So you're at a minus 142. I'm willing to take that money line of the Braves. Willing to go up to a minus 145 and did set my total at 9.6. I think that these offenses continue to wallop. So looking at the over and the money line of the Atlanta Braves, 927, 928 on the main board. The St. Louis Cardinals hit the road face-off against the Oakland A's. Paul Blackburn goes for the A's. Stephen Matz is on the bump for St. Louis. St. Louis is a favorite of any between minus 145 to a minus 155, any between plus 130 to plus 135. Your number on Oakland, 8 is the total. Under is between minus 110 to a minus 120. The over is between even a minus 110. Said Oakland at a plus 128, so plus 130 or higher, going to be willing to dive in on the Oakland A's. Paul Blackburn has given up about 3.3 to 3.4 walks per nine innings since the beginning part of the 2023 season, but he's really been able to just get more swings and misses. He updated his pitch mix a little bit over the last 24 or so months, and it's working out for him. You take a look at him since the beginning of the 2023 campaign, 373 ERA and a 374 fielding independent, getting about 8.5 strikeouts per nine innings. Does a great job keeping the ball in the yard as well. 0.8 home runs per nine innings. And you go back to the 2023 campaign for Paul Blackburn, he was really able to pitch his best when he was at home. At home, he was able to give the team about a 357 ERA, and at home, he mitigated the deep ball, giving up only about 0.7 home runs per nine innings. On the flip side, Stephen Matz, ever since his demotion to the bullpen during the middle of the 2023 season, a sub-3.5 ERA. Now, Stephen Matz, he's always a little bit of a roll of the dice because you never know, and he's just going to go out there and give you a big giant turd, and he's good for about one a month, but That said, through three starts this far this season, pretty darn good. Only 8 strikeouts in 15 innings, but he's also only given up 3 walks. He's been pitching to contact, and it's been working out well for him. That said, he's backed up by a St. Louis Cardinals bullpen that has been one of the lesser bullpens in the big league since the start of the 2023 season. Bottom 10 in terms of ERA. Love Ryan Helsley, a all-star reliever, and Andrew Kittredge, who they picked up from the Tampa Bay Rays, relatively solid. But these guys like Giovanni Gallegos, Jojo Romero, Ryan Fernandez, not necessarily trustworthy. And for the Oakland A's, this bunch has a top 10 bullpen in terms of ERA. You've got a lot of guys who've been able to really excel. Lucas Ursich, a cast off of the Brewers as a third baseman, has been a tremendous reliever. Austin Adams, Danny Jimenez, Michael Kelly, all these guys have a sub-3.3 ERA. I feel like Mason Miller should be a starter, but he has been great in the closer spot, and that's going to be big for the Oakland A's, because right now, their offense is just not putting back the ball. For the Oakland A's, this team has scored 2 runs or fewer in now 6 out of their last 7 games, and yet, as an underdog, they have covered every one of these run lines just because their pitching has been that good. You take a look at the lineup, and right now, you're not getting production from anyone. You've had J.J. Blade A be able to hit about a 250, and he is the only out of their top 7 players in terms of just total at-bats as far as this season, hitting above a 218. And you don't have any of these guys with north of a 300 on base. Shea Langelaris has 4 home runs. 3 of those came in 1 game. But, I mean, this Oakland A's team is just not hitting, to say the least. But the Cardinals have not really been tremendous on offense as well. They're a bottom 10 team in the big leagues with regards to runs per game. You have not been able to get a lot of production out of Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado. A combined 2 home runs from these two guys. Arenado is getting on base. He's hitting about 300 with a 312 on base, but Paul Goldschmidt hitting a .190 right now. Victor Scott, Jordan Walker, both of these guys hitting below the nose line of a 200. And then Brandon Donovan has some of the most demonstrative home and road splits that you're going to find of a big league hitter. So it's a circumstance where at a plus 129 or higher, I do like the A's on the money line, and I think that you get a low scoring bleeder. I said I told at 7.2, even though the Marine layer is not out here because it's a daytime game, I do think that both of these pitchers excel against offenses that are scuffling. So I like the under, and I like the A's on the money line, and we're at things up with 929, 930. On the betting board, it is the Seattle Mariners playing host to the Cincinnati Reds. Yes, we are on to Cincinnati, and they're on to Andrew Abbott getting the start, and Bryce Miller goes for Seattle. Seattle is anywhere between minus 126 to minus 135 favorites, and between plus 114, plus 118 is that number on Cincinnati. It is a total, under is minus 120, the over is even, and with the Seattle Mariners, something at a minus 127. Seeing minus 127, minus 126, I'm willing to lay that money line, but it's a max I'm going to be willing to lay. With Andrew Abbott, he has seen his numbers just drop off a little bit when he's been away from home. About a 3.40 ERA at home since getting called up to the big league level, closer to a 3.8 when he's away from home, which is a little bit strange as Cincinnati, very much a hitter's ballpark. But for Bryce Miller, he does a great job with his command. For his career, about 1.9 walks per 9 innings, and has been a tad unlucky. Taking it back to last season, he's got a 4.03 ERA, but a fielding independent of a 3.95, but has looked very good thus far this season. 18 and a third innings in his 3 starts, just 4 earned runs allowed. Swing and miss stuff has been solid but not great, about 8.2, 8.3 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he's backed up by one of the best bullpens that you're going to find in the big leagues. The Seattle Mariners have picked up guys like Trent Thornton, Taylor Cicado, Gabe Spire, that were real cast-offs of other teams that have been able to make it work. Andres Munoz has been tremendous as well, and even though you have had the injury currently to Matt Brash, this has been a bullpen that has been tremendous this far this season, going against a Cincinnati Reds team that is young and is a little bit up and down, to say the least. Guys like Tyler Stevenson, Luke Maley, Santiago Espinal, Jonathan India, Christian Encarnacion Strand, only a 225 or worse, that's been an issue. But Ellie De La Cruz giving you about a 360 on base, 3 plus home runs out of him. Jake Fraley, Spencer Sear, north of a 430 on base for both of these guys. And Sear, 4 plus home runs this far this season for Seattle. They just haven't generated a lot of offense. And games have wrapped up in regulation. They have broken the 5-run plateau, I believe, just twice in their last 12 games. Julio Rodriguez continues to be cold as he, Ore Polanco, Mitch Garver, Cal Raleigh, Luke Rayleigh, J.P. Crawford, all hitting a 210 or lower, so that's been rough. But Mitch Haniger hitting about a 300 with a 382 on base. He was the legit only guy in the starting lineup with at least 20 at-bats as far this season. Sans Josh Ross. Josh Ross also has been hitting relatively solid, hitting above a 250, though, so that's something that is very concerning. Ty France got pretty much a day off yesterday. He's been able to supply a little bit of offense for this team as well, but I do think that's a really interesting ordeal with the Reds bullpen that it's not great, it's not terrible. Buck Farmer, Lucas Sims, guys like this are able to get the ball to Alexis Diaz, who's one of the better closers out there in the big leagues, but I do think that both of these starters present a relatively good start. It is a daytime game out there in Seattle, so it's not going to be as pitcher-friendly as it typically is, but I do think that with the way that the Mariners are pitching really well and not necessarily ripping the cover off the ball on offense, that you're going to get a lower-scoring game. Here at the 8, I'm going to be looking at the under, and with Seattle, we'll only have to a minus 127 on that money line, and that'll wrap things up for the Wednesday edition of the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast, and a big thanks to Sean Zerill of Action Network for joining me in the last segment. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, the Baseball Betting Show, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter /XSimeline at GNNRN41. Keep in mind, letters M, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Coming at you guys every single day throughout the baseball season, and that means I'm coming at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.